In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday, the reading of the gospel was, "As the Father has loved me," Jesus said, "so I have loved you." That God loved Jesus with an infinite love, and Jesus loves you and me with an infinite love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That's enough scripture to meditate on for the rest of your life. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so I have loved you. We're looking at Hebrews 8, verse 7. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need to look for a second covenant. God finds fault with them when he says, 'The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day I took them out of the land of Egypt.'" In speaking of a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and growing old will soon disappear. Chapter 9. "Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly sanctuary, for a tent was constructed, the first one, in which were a lampstand, the table, the bread of presence. This is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a tent called the Holy of Holies. In it stood the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid on sides with gold, in which there were golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Above it there were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak now in detail. Such preparations have been made. The priests go continually into the first tent to carry out their ritual duties, but only the high priest goes into the second, and he but once a year, and not without taking the blood that he offers for himself and for the sins committed unintentionally by the people. By this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way to the sanctuary has not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tent is still standing." This is the symbol of the present time, during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various baptisms, regulations for the body imposed until the time comes to set things right. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls with the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer sanctifies those who have been defiled, so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God. Have you offered yourself through the eternal Spirit to Christ, to the Father? Have you offered yourself through the eternal Spirit to Christ, to the eternal Father? Oh, yes. Okay, it's going to start talking about that Christ entered the sanctuary and made one sacrifice, yes. What does the Catholic Church believe? We believe that this Mass is not another sacrifice, that it is the same sacrifice at Calvary, that we stand at Calvary and the empty tomb every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. Now, some people will say you're doing it over and over again. It is the one sacrifice. The Greek word is anamnesis. Anamnesis. It is the one sacrifice of Calvary that we make present as we eat this bread and drink this cup. We proclaim, make present the Lord's death until he comes. Now, it's not another death. It's not another time. You're entering eternal time. The cross is eternally there. We enter into eternity through the Holy Spirit when we celebrate the Eucharist. I know somebody that's a priest that takes off his watch when he comes into the Mass because he knows he's going into eternity, not into time. So, for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. A death has occurred. Whose death? Our Lord Jesus' death. And it's also with the shedding of blood. Where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established, for a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Hence, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been told to all the people by Moses in accordance with the law, he took blood, the blood of calves and goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the scroll itself and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God has obtained for you." And in the same way he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, most everything is purified with blood. Now listen to this scripture. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Christ shed his blood once and for all. At Mass, we make present that sacrifice, not a new sacrifice. We're not doing something again and again. We enter into eternity. We make present anamnesis, the very death and resurrection of Jesus through the Eucharist. Thus, it was necessary for the sketches of heavenly things to be purified with rites, but the heavenly things themselves need better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Jesus appeared in heaven on your behalf. He is the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for you. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you today? Do you know that he is the great high priest who makes intercession for believers? Do you know that? That you're not alone. That you have the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is reality. This is reality. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own, for then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is written, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sins, but to save those who eagerly await his coming. Oh, we need to eagerly await the second coming of Jesus. We need to eagerly await that Jesus is coming again. We need to eagerly await that the one who died and rose is coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Chapter 10. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things would be Jesus and his blood, to come, and not the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who approach. Otherwise, they would have to cease being offered, since the worship is cleansed once for all, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin year after year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That's for sure. We need the blood of Jesus to take away sins. We need the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, how many people preach on the blood? How many people preach on the blood? It's our salvation. Many years ago, before Vatican II, July 1st was the feast of the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." Yes. Psalm 40. "In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have to come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me," when he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings," that's the Old Testament, "and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." And what was the will of the Father? The will of the Father was to give his Son over so that you and I would go to heaven. That Jesus shed his blood, it was the will of the Father. The will of the Father so that we, you and I, would have the gates of heaven flung open. Flung open. Oh yes. It's all about the blood. And I don't know how many people preach the blood. I know that I do. And I know that other people do. But not many, I believe, preach the blood of Jesus. He abolishes the first covenant in order to establish the second covenant in the blood of Jesus. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. What about Mass? Are we re-offering Jesus? No. It is the one sacrifice of Calvary, anamnesis. We enter into eternity when we celebrate the Eucharist. It is no longer time. It is eternity. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The death of the Lord over and over. No, the one death of the Lord until he comes. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until all of his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by one single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. One offering of Calvary. one offering at Mass, the same sacrifice of Calvary, anamnesis, to make present. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim, make present the day of the Lord's death until he comes. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, and where there's a therefore, we've got to see why it's therefore. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary, how? By the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. See, these Jewish Christians wanted to go back to the temple. Let us hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of his second coming. This is magnificent, that this beautiful work of Hebrews is not only warning the Hebrews to hold fast to their first confession of faith, but warning us to hold fast to our first confession of faith. We remember in the book of Revelation, God speaks to the church at Ephesus, and they did all these good deeds, but God was upset because they lost their first love. We need that first love with Jesus. That is a gift, and it comes as we spend time with Jesus. For if we willingly persist in sin after having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and the fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think we'll deserve by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? I tell you, if the Old Testament said that we're going to suffer if we sin, what about the New Testament? The New Testament in the blood of Jesus, that he gave his life up for us. The New Testament that Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all for your sins. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. This is real. This is real. I'm not talking ragtime. This is real. What happens at Mass is beyond words. You can't put it into words. It is the presence of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The same death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. The same that took place at Calvary and the empty tomb. For we know the one who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But you know what? The hands of Jesus are still scarred because he died for you. Oh yes, if you sin, go to confession. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Give your life to Jesus. Offer yourself through the Holy Spirit to, through Jesus, to the Father. Offer yourself and just see what God wants to do for you. But recall those earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, that's when they were converted, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those who were so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions. In other words, when they first became Jewish Christians, part of the church, they endured great sufferings. They endured great sufferings. They endured great sufferings, knowing that you yourselves possess something better and more lasting. Hallelujah, more lasting, forever. Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay, but by righteous one will live by faith. We are called to live by faith. You know, believing God. There was someone who came to the door a couple of weeks ago, and they needed money for transportation. And I gave them money, and I said, you don't have to bring it back to me. Oh, yes, tomorrow I'll have it for you. I said, you don't have to, because I'm not going to get it. I'm telling you, when you give something away, you don't expect for it to be returned to you, unless it's a large sum of money. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back. He's talking to the Hebrew Christians, and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. Do we have faith today? Do we have faith today that Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, has opened for us the gate of heaven? It has been flung open, the gate of heaven. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I do not see God, but I have faith in him. I have faith at Mass that this is the one sacrifice. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the words were prepared, by the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. In other words, the Son of God spoke the world into existence. This is real. That the Son of God spoke the world into existence. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to the gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. This is the chapter of faith. We'll do it tomorrow. I want you to know today a couple of things. That with an everlasting love you have been loved by God. That God wants to forgive your sins. That he wants to forgive your sins. That he wants to come and dwell in your heart by faith. He wants to do things for you, to you, and through you. And he wants to make himself known through his holy presence. Father, pour out your presence upon your people. Pour out your presence upon your people, I pray. In the name of Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The School of the Holy Spirit will be at Holy Rosary, July 8th. It starts. I also need to tell you, I need to hear from people because our bills need to be paid. We did not get much money on Friday, just $2,000. Our bills are way beyond $2,000 a week. So help us in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.